Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And what a week it was, Sam, for the FPL benches. The FPL benches. We've got players like Pereira, we've got players like Nico Williams, who we bring in, and in previous seasons, if you had a playing 4.0 or a playing 4.5, they'd sit on the bench every week and get 2 points, and you'd be fine with it. This season, these guys are actually putting out some points. Andreas, was it a 10-pointer? 11-pointer?
The annoying thing with Pereira is that I look at my team that I've just wildcarded, and I'm genuinely struggling to work out when I'm going to play him.
Well, this is the thing. We can all afford a reasonable squad, can't we? So you bring in Pereira. Well, I've certainly got Pereira.
I can't keep benching the kid, though, can I?
He is absolutely the best 4.5 in the game. But he's absolutely the best 4.5 in the game without question.
Yeah.
But because of his price, you just bench him every week. I've missed out on so many points from him this week. Yeah. Now, we can be forgiven for missing out on the Nico points, I think, but more on Liverpool a bit later on, because that was a very, very abject performance from my team at the week. And I'm going to talk about that a bit later on, including what you can see in the thumbnail. Is it now time to hold or sell or buy, even buy Salah? I mean, I don't think there's too many people buying Salah, but
who's buying Salah?
Well, ahead of Leeds at home, some may wish to buy. I mean, Leeds are all over the place. We'll talk about them as well a bit later on. And of course, we'll talk about our scores and our overall ranks and how we are doing overall in FPL. Before we get on to the game, Sam, let's say hello to a few people. Martin Treaky Swartz is in from our patron supporters. How are we doing, Martin? Nice to see you, mate. He says, hello, everyone. Hello, Martin.
Hi, Martin.
Gavin Gould is here. 72 points minus four. What a score that is, Gavin, by the way. That is a very, very good score this week. He sounds like he absolutely did play Pereira. Are you getting a little bit bored about the Haaland perma-captain thing now? I mean, another game week, another brace from my captain, and it just didn't really affect me. I was like, yeah. Is this affecting your enjoyment of the game?
No, it's not affecting my enjoyment of the game.
Is it not? It is me a bit, I'll be honest.
It's not affecting my enjoyment of the game. I think it just means that I feel like I need to take other risks. Because the captaincy thing is never going to give you a massive boost. So you have to kind of look for slightly differential picks.
I have to say, the captaincy is one of the big decisions to make every week, isn't it? In previous years, it is decision. But we're just not having to make this year. It's just a bit of a shame,
I think. Do you really think that that's the truth? Because, you know, last year, we pretty much perma-captain Salah every week. So it's no different. There's any difference this year to what there was last year. It's just a different player.
Let's see. Ryan Porteous is here. How are we doing, Ryan? Very nice to see you. Gavin Doyle is here. He says, disaster of a game week. Only scored 52 points. I think you're fine, Gavin. That ain't too bad, mate. That's not too bad. Thanks to Ward, who somehow is picking up 6, 7, 8 pointers every week now being a laughing stock a few weeks ago.
I think it was the threat that he was going to get pulled out. It was that week where Roger said something about how he might give Everson a go.
Yeah.
And since then, Danny Ward's been epic.
Unbelievable. And actually, the first time we went on Sky, any of you that saw us on Sky this week, what did you think? Let us know in the comments. We really enjoyed it again, being on Sky Sports News this weekend. But the first time we went a couple of weeks ago, we have there's this bit on the Sky Sports News show, isn't there, about state your case, and they give you you have to kind of come up with a bit of a differential, a bit of a wild pick for the weekend. And the first time we were on a couple of weeks ago, I went with Timothy Castagne. And since then, he's done nothing but haul. It's like 6 and 7 pointers. And today got an assist and a clean sheet and I think some bonus. So if you've got Timothy Castagne in your team, whether it was on my recommendation or not, quite frankly, well done. He's been absolutely brilliant for you. Absolutely brilliant. Carl Valencia is in with 62. There's a lot of scores in here, Sam, that are better than my score this week, I can tell you.
That'd be better
than
mine as well, I'm pretty sure.
Karen Kresser is in. How are we doing, Karen? Nice to see you. Martin is saying, yeah, Wolves look like relegation material. They do. They do, I'm afraid. They look a little bit abject today. And I haven't seen... We were obviously watching the games that were on UK TV, including the Spurs
Arsenal
game. We watched the Arsenal game at 2 o'clock. And the Wolves game was not on UK TV. So we're going to watch a bit of the highlights after the live stream and see how Wolves got on. But they're struggling for goals, aren't they? Really struggling for goals. But this is not a shock, is it? I kind of feel
we've known about this for a while, haven't we?
Yeah, and I noticed actually in the Fantasy Football Scout members area, and if you're not a member of Fantasy Football Scout yet, you can go and get your membership on the affiliate link that's in the description below. Go check it out over there. It's something that we use every single week and refer to every single week here on FPL Family. Sam, top for shots this game week. Which player do you think out of the whole game, top for shots?
I don't know.
Diogo Costa. Diego Costa with 8 shots. The next best is Ollie Watkins with 5 and Kane with 5. Diego Costa, 8 shots. Now, what does that tell me? That tells me they're getting frustrated, Wolves. Yeah, they're getting frustrated. They're getting near the goal. They're trying to find him, trying to give him the ball because he's the goal scorer. They're just getting frustrated, Wolves. Really, really not good for them.
He's no Raul Jimenez, is he?
He is not. They are missing him massively. Matthew Wilkinson is here. How are we doing, Matt? Nice to see you. Cyberdet is in. Nice to see you. So I hope you are well, mate.
Yeah,
hope you are on the path to full fitness. Ryan Porteous is here. He says Newcastle now in the top four. Yes, very good result for them. We'll talk about them bit later on. But they are the real deal. The real deal. And somehow Almiron has turned from, you know, what we considered a little bit of a... Well, it was a. We used to take Mick out of him a little bit, didn't we? In FPL or otherwise,
he was
a bit of a very much a bit part player last season. But this season, he is only scoring worldies. What a goal today as well! Azzy is in the Smiths 1986. How are we doing, Azzy? Very nice to see you, Josh Cleave, Ben Allum, Daslas 94, and a whole host of you guys. So, guys, welcome to the live stream. If you're new around here, maybe this is your first ever FPL family live stream. If it is, hit that subscribe button. Do us a favour. We'd love for you to subscribe and become a member here at the FPL Family channel. And, of course, give us a like if you are enjoying the video. Let's get on to, Sam, the games. Where would you like to start? Well, I'll tell you what. I would like to, a little bit self-indulgent maybe, although it's something I just need to get off my chest. Forest 1, Liverpool 0. Let's go back all the way to Saturday lunchtime and talk about this game because you bought Salah in on the wild card. You wanted to go Nunez.
No.
You didn't bring in Salah in the wildcard.
No.
I thought you had him before, did you?
I sold Salah on wildcard.
Did you not have Salah this week?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought you did. All right. So
don't accuse me of owning him.
Well, I
went in no Liverpool, remember?
Going into this Forest game with no Liverpool then. Oh, yes, because you were going to get Nunez.
Yeah.
And then there was a little bit of team news about he ain't probably going to start. And you were like, right, flick that over to Jesus pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So going into this game week with no Liverpool... on the face of it, felt like a pretty brave decision going away to Nottingham Forest. But how are you feeling about them now? Because it's just not investable.
So there was two reasons I didn't do it. One, I just don't think Salah's worth 13 million. I know it's not quite 13 million, 12.8 million, whatever it was. The budget just it wasn't there to have him because I wanted to keep Kane and Haaland. So there was no budget for him. I would have had Nunez. Had Nunez been fit, I absolutely would have gone with him.
Okay.
He was the player I really wanted.
Might you still have a look at him? Because he doesn't feel as if it's a long-term
injury.
Well,
let's see if he plays in the Champions League midweek. But
I
left the money in the bank so that I can go Jesus to Nunez. Because at some point, I'm expecting Jesus to pick up that fifth yellow and then be suspended.
Yes, I forgot about that. He's on 5, isn't he?
Yeah. So there's a couple of things I'll say about my decision to go without Salah. I was bricking it about it.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like a good decision now, but pre-game...
I wasn't comfortable.
Yeah.
However, the 12:30 game I hate for Liverpool. It's never good for them. They always, like Spurs, both of our clubs just don't seem to be able to play
at 12:30.
It's
absolutely true, yeah.
There's something about them. We just
don't know what it is.
You know, it doesn't mean they won't return or won't win. It just means it's always a lackluster game, you know, not a lot in it. And then as we were driving away from Sky when the deadline had passed, you said to me, "What's the team news?" And I brought it up and I was like, and I read it to you and you were like, "We won't win that game."
Bang in trouble. And that was... Yeah, you read the team out to me and I was just like... Because there was a bit of a leak, wasn't there? This was looking like what the Liverpool team is going to look like. And it was kind of, no Thiago, no Nunez. And as soon as you said to me, no Thiago, I was like, well, first of all, what's happened? Because he was fit as a fiddle the other night.
Where's
so what's happened? And Klopp came out and said he's got some sort of ear infection or something, which, you know, okay. Don't like to see that, but, you know... Just an ear infection.
But it makes you dizzy in that, doesn't it?
Yeah, but we didn't half need him. Because and when you read the team out, that it was that midfield three. You've got Fabinho, who... I don't want to say this, but is Fabinho finished? Is he finished, this guy? I mean, he's not had a good game for months now. Months. Mm. I'm starting to really worry about him. Really worried about him. And then you've got Harvey, who was probably our best player on the day, but he can't do it all himself.
No.
And he's still only, 19, whatever he is, right? So we, and then Curtis Jones, who's also very young and, you know, just coming back, hasn't played a lot of football this season. In fact, pretty sure he's played, like, way less than 45 minutes before this game, right? And he played, like, the full 90. And you can have as many Nunezes, Salahs and Manes and whatever you want in that front three. But if that midfield three ain't good for Liverpool... We don't have a good game, and that was the problem.
But the interesting thing for me is, when I read your team to you, when it was officially announced and I read it to you, and you were like, who's the game changer on the bench. And then I read the bench to you, and I sat the bench in front of me, and I was looking at it thinking, and I was like, Trent? Henderson? Like,
well, he bought an Oxlade-Chamberlain, for goodness sake.
But he didn't have a lot of choice, did he? You looked at the bench. And so you had a game plan with the team you had. But when Nottingham Forest, who actually I thought played really well in this game.
Yeah.
When they went
they
that
did.
Goal...
They did, take nothing away from Forest. Yeah.
When they went that goal ahead, it was kind of... You look at the Liverpool team that were playing, we're like, right, I don't see who's changing it on this pitch. You've got to bring someone on. Who's coming off the bench? I thought Trent actually didn't do too badly when he came on. Oxlade-Chamberlain just, I mean, he's not going to make a game changer. Yeah, is he? He's just coming back from a long-term injury. I mean, the kid's been basically injured for about 5 years now.
Curtis Jones was the big thing, right? And we got to move away from it a little bit because we're talking more about Liverpool than FBL. But in the context of it and whether you would invest in Salah, right now, if Curtis is going to get game time, I don't think you can because he slows everything down. I love him, Curtis. And because he's a Scouser, he gets a stay of execution. He doesn't get it from the Liverpool fans because he's a Scouser.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, if we'd have bought him from Italy or something, he'd be getting pelters right now because he slows the game down. He obviously he's not a Thiago. I understand that, but he just don't move the ball quickly.
The thing is, with these Liverpool assets, they're expensive. You got to pay premium FPL prices. This was an easy game on paper that they should have been winning comfortably. And they haven't.
Yeah.
And not only did they not win it, they didn't look like winning it. And for me, that's a massive red flag in FPL, and it's a massive avoid.
I think you're right.
Even with Leeds up next.
Thank you, Rithwick, for the super chat. That is a very generous super chat, Rithwick. So thank you very much indeed. He says, Hayley and Sam, at the Rascal here from Friday's FPL Fan... Hey, from FPL Fan Zone. So I was on Fan Zone on Friday... I answered this question. You're right. This is a big thanks to Lee, who suggested Ward over Saar on FPL Fan Zone 60. Listen, it ain't difficult to recommending Wardinho right now. This kid is absolutely on fire. He's back-to-back clean sheeting all over the place. 62 all out for Rithwick. So a really nice score this week. Ward,
yeah, you've helped.
Andreas and Kane giving me a great birthday. Hey, it's just Rithwick's
birthday. And happy
birthday. Happy birthday, Rithwick. Happy birthday. And I'm glad...
We love doing those Fan Zone shows, don't we?
My question. It's great. I really love that. It's only like a quick sort of 10 or 15 minutes at the end of Fan Zone, but it is really,
because it's
really
the first time you've done that, isn't it? Because I've done that few times over the last year or so. And Archie, the producer, messaged me, didn't he? And was like, could you do it? And I was like, I can't. I was busy running a school disco at the kids' school. Yeah. I was like, but Lee will do it. He'd love to. He was like, brilliant. We'll have Lee on instead. And I came back home from doing the disco stuff, and you were like, I had a great time.
There
on
you
Fan
go,
Zone.
Suggesting Ward, yeah.
Don't you see?
There you go. Already giving value on a Friday afternoon. Giving value. If only I would take heed of my own.
Why haven't you
advice,
got Ward?
Because I haven't got Ward. And I was just shouting out Castagna a few weeks ago, and I didn't get him either, did I? So
you'd be winning it if you'd just taken your own advice.
Oh, don't even go there. Don't even go there. So, Riffic, happy birthday. Thank you for the super chat, and glad you had a good week, mate. Glad you had a good game week. Yes, take nothing away from Nottingham Forest, but at the moment, I don't see me investing in either of these two sides. Now, I've got Salah. There is no way I can take Salah out ahead of Leeds at home.
Why?
You just can't, can you?
I took him out ahead of Forest.
You just can't. I mean... Listen, as bad as we are away from home at the minute, we haven't lost at home yet. I mean, we've had some pretty abject performances, like the Brighton game, for example, where we probably should have been 4-0 down in 20 minutes. But at home, we haven't lost yet. And Leeds are absolutely all over the shop at the minute, right? Jesse March is under a bit of pressure. The crowd were very much chanting against him at the end of the game, from what I understood today. Don't take anything away from Fulham and the way that they perform. But
12.8 million!
I know, but what would I do with that money? I tell you what I would do with that money. I'd go and get Kane, wouldn't I? That's the thing. Because he just keeps ticking over. Despite Spurs not exactly, they're flattering to deceive at the minute, Spurs. I'm not entirely sure he's got the right system, etc., etc. We'll talk about them in a moment.
I can categorically tell you he hasn't got the right system at the moment.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that in a bit.
It's certainly not all rosy
Kane,
in the Spurs garden. But Kane seems to just get
two,
a goal.
But if you're
going to
have premiums, two premiums, then surely it's either Haaland and Kane or it's Haaland and KDB. It's not Salah.
I'm not transferring out Salah ahead of Leeds.
Okay.
I'm just not.
I can't wait to watch that at midnight next
week. Oh, no.
When we're away.
I'm asking for trouble. I'm asking for trouble. But there is the answer to the question that's in the thumbnail, is I'm holding Salah. Ooh. Because he just can't. I just can't take him out ahead of Leeds. That just feels like asking for trouble. Thank you, Si, for the super chat. A very generous super chat. Simon, thank you very much. Much appreciated. Simon, who is also... a patron supporter for us and a member of the channel. So Simon, really appreciate it, mate. And hope you are feeling better, mate. Really hope you're feeling better. Because he was in hospital, wasn't he, fairly recently. Evening, Bonfields, he says. Evening, Simon. I'm alive. That's good. That's a good start. I'm alive and in good spirits. My boys QPR, top of the EFL, which is good. I won 70 quid on Brighton versus Forest. But my FPL team is absolute pony. 46 points, absolutely awful. So it's not had a great week in Sigh. FPL. But he is alive on a more positive note, which is great.
Do you know, we haven't had a bet for ages, Si. For game week 14, we'll have another random Si shout-out bet.
What are you winning 70 quid on? Why are you betting on Brighton versus Forest? That is a weird game to have a bet on.
Brighton versus...
What was the bet? Brighton v Forest in midweek, right? 0-0.
Is that maybe
bet. That was the bet. I don't know. Maybe it was.
There'll be no goals.
So, yes, I agree with you going back to Forest and Liverpool. I don't think you're going to buy from either of these clubs right now. But as a Liverpool fan, we've just got to hope that Thiago's ear clears up. We've got to hope that the Nunez hamstring isn't
too bad.
Well, we're
going to know, aren't we? Because you've got Champions League football in midweek. So yeah. We will find out from the team. And you've got Ajax, haven't you?
We've got Ajax away, man.
So,
I'll tell you what.
That is going to be a difficult game.
Yeah. And then it's Napoli at home, by the way, which I don't fancy I don't fancy anybody against Napoli at the minute. They are red hot.
Okay.
And we need to win one of those games to get out of that group.
Well, look, let's see what happens with Liverpool in midweek. We're going to get some more understanding of how those injuries are and whether they are serious, whether they're going to affect our FPL plans, etc., etc., etc. So,
okay.
I wouldn't be buying Liverpool. If it was me, I'd sell Salah.
All right. Okay. Let's talk about Chelsea 1, Manchester United 1 then. A decent game that jumped into life last 10 minutes. It was, it was one of those games.
First 36 minutes.
Yes.
All United.
Wasn't it?
United were fantastic for those first 35, 36 minutes. Then Potter correctly took Cucurella off, changed the system up.
So talk to me
about
Chelsea this.
Was so
then.
Much better.
Yeah, tell me about this then, because that is not the first time in the last few weeks that Potter has taken Cucurella off, changed the system a little bit, and they've improved. Now, as a Cucurella owner, that's a bit of a concern for me.
I get that. I mean, I don't think it's a slight on Cucurella, to be honest. I don't think it's him saying you're rubbish. I think it's him saying this system that I like to play isn't working in the Chelsea team, so I've got to change it. And Cucurella is the obvious, with the way that the injuries are in that Chelsea back line with Fofana and Reece James, etc., that they've got to make changes in the way that their structure, and Cucurella has been the unfortunate casualty, I would say. I don't necessarily think it's because he was, I wouldn't have said he was particularly bad in those first 36 minutes.
Yeah.
But I did think it made a massive difference. I mean, look, I thought it was an interesting game. I didn't see the two goals because I went to put the little one to bed, didn't I? Yeah. I missed the two goals.
It wasn't the best game.
But, you know, both of these clubs, of the two of them, I'd look to invest more in Manchester United right now than I would in Chelsea from an FPL
perspective. Let's just have a look at the fixtures for both of them going forward. So I've obviously filtered it to the next three game weeks only, because we've only got three game weeks now until the World Cup, which I can't believe there's a World Cup round the corner and I'm not, you know, buzzing excited for it. I mean, I am.
I haven't even seen any England stuff in the shops.
Not really.
You know, like normally by now, 3 weeks before a World Cup, you walk round like the town and it'll be full of like England flags, England football shirts. Yeah. Not seen any of that yet.
Well, the Chelsea fixtures are Brighton away, then Arsenal, then Newcastle. So it's really tricky to recommend investing in Chelsea. But I do want to talk about Manchester United, because you're right. It's West Ham at home, Aston Villa away, Fulham at home. So three reasonable fixtures. They are towards the top of the fixture ticker. Given what we saw from Aston Villa today, maybe going away to Villa Park might be a bit more difficult by the time game week 15 rolls around. And actually, away at Fulham isn't easy either. But let's just go with it for now. Man United third on the ticker. Investable over the next 3 weeks? Yeah, I mean, where would you go?
I bought in Dallow on my wild card.
Don't mind that.
It's not horrendous. I did that because... So originally I was going Ben White. Got an assist today.
He did get an assist today.
But I couldn't go Ben White in the end because I'd take Nunez to Jesus, which meant I had too many Arsenal players.
Yeah.
So it ended up with Dalot, which I quite like for the next few weeks. I really like Anthony. If I was going to invest in Man United
Good player.
You know, I know you spoke about Bruno Fernandes on Sky. The issue I have, and maybe, you know, Salah to Bruno is not such a bad idea. The issue I have with the way that my team is set up is that those kind of mid-priced midfielders... are the way I'm going heavy because I've got my two premiums up top. But I do really like Antony. I like what he's brought to that Man United team. I like his... I just like the way he plays. I like his kind of passion. I think
he's got a bit of the Richarlison's about him. He's got a little bit of the S-Housery about him. And I like that. Maybe that's not a bad thing for United.
Yeah, you see, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I hated that in Richarlison at Everton. Yeah. But I quite like this about Antony at Man United because he seems to just drag the rest up with him, whereas at Everton...
You're all right with the S-Housery now that Richarlison's at Spurs. That's called the Suarez effect, by the way.
I don't think it's that. I think it depends on what impact it has on the rest of the team. So when Richarlison was doing nonsense things at Everton, it used to drive me potty because the rest of the Everton team would be like, oh.
Yeah.
And then he'd be just there, like, you know, causing drama.
So you've got Dalot, you fancy Antony. Anything else in there that's you're looking at? I must say, the takeaway for me from this game was the grit that we saw from United.
Well, yeah. Right? But...
they've suddenly got a little bit of something about them. Yeah. The United from the previous regimes and the previous seasons, you know, a Jorginho penalty in the 85th minute. Oh, well, that's it. Oh, but woe is us, Man United. You know, Goldbridge is on, you know, United stand moaning.
We've got
all the United fans are in it. Oh, last minute penalty, dodgy penalty. But no, you know, they went up the other end and scored. Mm. And then a great header from Casemiro. The celebrations that, you know, the United celebrations were absolutely raucous, right? Mm. The fact that Ten Hag left Ronaldo at home, basically, I thought was absolutely brilliant. That's absolutely the sort of message that I think he needs to send. I think he's getting a lot right. And I think the United fans are starting to believe that this team can actually do something. Mm. Now, from an FPL perspective, I agree with you. It's kind of difficult to know where to go. You really wish Martial was fit. If Martial was fit, I think you'd have him through in the middle, wouldn't you? But would you go Rashford? Could you go Antony? Bruno's probably a bit expensive. Even at the back, Dalot, I think, is probably a worse option if Varane is out for the next few weeks, which it looks like he might be on the back of that injury. I still think he's an all right pick, by the way, Dalot. He's a reasonable... he's at that price, it's fine, right? But with Varane out, let's see what happens. I'm still struggling to see where I go with Man United.
I'd go Antony. If I was going to take... if I was going to go for a differential punt between now and the World Cup, Antony would be high on my list of differential punts.
Yeah, all right. Very good. And Chelsea, for their part... difficult still to know where to go. I have to say, I was impressed with Broya. I know that's easy to say because he came on, he won the penalty and he put himself about and he was lively. He put himself about more when he came on than Aubameyang did for the rest of that game. And I wonder whether Potter might just see that at some stage and give Broya a bit of a run in the team.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I had a chat with my dad and my brother after this game.
They both fancy Broya.
And they both said, just play Broya over Aubameyang. He's got a bit of grit, a bit of passion about him, and he actually goes out there and tries. And I think sometimes in that Chelsea...
he was good for us, wasn't he, when he was at Saints? He was,
yeah. You know, I find Chelsea very, very hard to invest in. Mount is an option because of the price point. The others I find are really difficult because Sterling's that little... I mean, he's what, 9.8 now, is too much money to invest in them. If you're going to invest that much, you'd go Bruno instead.
Yeah.
Up top, you're not getting Aubameyang. You're not seeing anywhere near enough. Plus, both of those are getting rotated massively. The only one that's not being rotated outfield at the moment is Mount. So I think if you want an outfield player, you kind of have to go with him. Even in that back line, like, you can't really have Cucurella anymore, can you? Because if he gets, going to get hauled every game before.
I need an exit plan for him. Yeah, it's just whether that exit plan is going to be executed in the next 3 weeks or whether I just let him sit there
on the bench
and just deal with it at the World Cup. Because I want my transfers, because we've all only got sort of three or four transfers left between now and the World Cup.
Yeah,
I've only got three because I spent two this week. They're precious, right? They're precious. Mm. Do I want to faff about with Cucurella or do I just leave him there and knowing that Nico can come in and play any game week and bag a six-pointer from my bench, right? Because that's intending to do. And focus my three transfers on something more further forward. I think that's probably what I'm going to do.
So if you're going to do that then, but are you actually going to leave him in your starting 11? Because one pointers are really annoying. Are you just going to bench him?
Well, we'll talk about our bus teams a bit later on. But right now, I'm not sure whether I would even fancy him for the start, given that Potter keeps kind of bringing him off and they seem to improve every time he's hauled off. So I don't know. Chelsea fans, let us know in the comments. Is Cucurella a nailed-on starter as perhaps he was two or three weeks ago? I'm not convinced that he is, to be honest with you. But the one I'm looking at is Broya. I've got a feeling it might not be this side of the World Cup, but other side of the World Cup, I think he's going to get a run of games. And if we get the Chelsea forward in a decent run of fixtures for, what is he, 5-point-something? 6-point-something? I don't think he's even 6-point-something. I haven't looked at his price, but he's pretty cheap. If we get the Chelsea forward at 5-point-something, that is definitely worth looking at. It's worth looking at. Let's move on, Sam. Where else do you want to go? There's a lot of the games that play that we were played that were played, I should say, today on Sunday that we didn't watch because we watched the Arsenal game. We watched 5.3. The Spurs game. 5.3 for Broya. Mm. Oh, there you go. Cheap as chips, right? But I do want to let's talk about the games we did watch then. So Southampton 1, Arsenal 1. Now you loaded up on Arsenal in your wild card.
All the wrong ones, though, Mike.
You went with Saka and Jesus and with Martinelli. So you were looking for a big Arsenal win here, and in the end, you didn't get it. You got Xhaka with the goal, Ben White with the assist, and actually all that Saka did was pick up a yellow card, which is very harsh, by the way. I don't think it was a yellow card at all. How do you feel about your treble up on Arsenal worried. Going forward?
Fixtures are still really nice. Jesus came in, like I said, at last minute because I wanted Nunez. I've got the money in the bank to still go back to Nunez, and that is something I'll consider. But okay. I've also could go down to the likes of Mitrovic if I wanted to because I still don't have him. So there are other options from Jesus with 0.9, I think, in the bank or whatever it is, 0.8 in the bank. 0.9, I think. So I have got potential to change it up if I want to, okay. or for the inevitable yellow card that Jesus is going to get at some point.
You feel like it's going to come at some stage, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not worried. I tripled up on Arsenal attackers for a reason, because the Arsenal fixtures between now and the World Cup are really nice. Now, this was one that I counted as part of the it's really nice, and I was expecting to see Arsenal do really well. I thought that they did do really well in the first half, and I thought Jesus was particularly unlucky not to get me something in that first half. He had a few opportunities where could have on a different day.
Keeper did well a couple of times against him, yeah.
However, it got to about 70 minutes and they sort of looked like they'd run out of puff. And if anyone was going to win the game, it was going to be Southampton, I thought.
Do you know what? I spotted that. For the first time this season, I just thought, ooh. They've lost their legs a little bit there, Arsenal. Yeah. And James you don't Ward often Prowse. Say that about them, right?
No, but James Ward-Prowse really should have won it for Southampton right at
good,
the end.
Good chance. Yeah, really
you know,
good chance.
And you kind of find yourself thinking, oh, that's interesting. And I wonder whether, you know, Arsenal have had a very, very compact schedule recently because of their involvement in the Europa League as well as, of course, the Premier League. And I know that a lot of teams, Spurs, Liverpool, City, Chelsea, United, West Ham, all in the same boat. But a lot of those teams starting to look a bit leggy. Spurs are starting to look leggy. God knows what's going on at Liverpool. Chelsea the same.
You know, we've looked leggy all season.
Chelsea are the same, but in a different way because they're just rotating every 5 minutes. So they don't look settled. So there's a lot of kind of, apart from Manchester City, who look just worlds above.
Yeah.
I'm just keeping a close eye on Arsenal. I'm not worried about having all three of them. I did it for a reason and I'm happy to stick with them for now. But Jesus eventually might be the downgrade. I think, you know, both Saka and Jesus could have had something today. Martinelli was a bit quieter than I was expecting him to be, I think. Of the three, I was most disappointed in him, maybe.
I don't know. I didn't get the FPL points, but he was pretty good. He was one, I thought, Martinelli, that ran out of puff a little bit towards the end of the game. Because for an hour, he was good, yeah. He was really good.
Yeah.
Let's have a look at those Arsenal fixtures. Here's the reason you're not selling any of them or worried about them in the short term. Is that they've got Forest at home up next. Then it's that game against Chelsea, which, you know, let's be honest, they can score in that, no question.
Aubameyang versus Arsenal.
Oh, yeah, goodness me, that's a nice sub, bit of subtext there. And then Wolves, who are in dire straits at the minute, in 16. So, yeah, I mean, your treble Arsenal's not looking too bad. I happened to bring in Ben White this week, mainly because over the last few weeks, I've seen him play at right back a little bit. And I wouldn't say he's like a bombing down the right necessarily, but I have seen him get forward a little bit and being more involved with goals, maybe assisting the assists and things like that. So when he did actually do the overlap for Saka today, I was not surprised to see him do that. He's starting to do that a bit more. I don't know if he's got necessarily the pace to be a sort of all and out right back in the way that you see a Trent or a, I don't know, one of the Spurs fullbacks, right? But he seems to be doing a pretty good job there. Mm. And to see him get that assist, listen, well taken goal by Granit Xhaka, by the way, great goal. But to see White get into those sorts of positions, I kind of wasn't surprised. Bit of a shame to see the clean sheet go. But even though it did, he was still fourth overall for BPS amongst defenders this game week. So what does that tell you? That tells you that even though the clean sheet went, he was still overlapping, getting crosses in the box, pass completion rate was good, tackles was good. So Ben White is feeding the bonus points quite a bit. I've got a feeling he might have nicked a bonus point tonight as well. Let's let me see. Does it show on here?
Been the bottom list there.
Bonus. Yeah, Ben White, 29. So yeah, he'd have nicked one bonus point, right? So he probably got five or six, I think. I haven't looked at my team. So yeah, I think he's an all right pick. I'm no danger with him.
Yeah, I liked him.
It's great, right?
He was one that I mean, the draft that we talked through on Ohana, I had Ben White in there because I had Nunez up top, and I really liked him as a pick for the next few 3 weeks.
It's all good, yeah, it's all good. We'll talk about my transfers or our transfers for next game week a bit later on, but I'm still considering going treble Arsenal for that Forest at home game, despite the draw today. Southampton, though, good value for the point, and like you say, could have won it at the end. They absolutely could have won it. Where else do you want to go? The other game we watched today was Spurs 1, Newcastle 2. Let's talk about that briefly. I assume you want to talk about that briefly.
I'm all right with it.
What is the... What's your view on going... What's going on at Spurs at the minute? Because it's not... It ain't great, is it, at the minute?
No, but also, there's two really poor mistakes from Hugo for two goals here.
Correct.
So let's not go all like Spurs were dreadful. Spurs were not great today.
But you have to admit, for the last two or three games, when you've watched
things
Spurs,
aren't right.
It's, unless you're going to score a scrappy set piece or a penalty, it's not been great, is it?
Well, we're top, aren't we, for goals from corners this season, I think they were saying today. But then, and obviously we've had penalties as well. So there's been, you know, the set pieces have been saving our bacon quite a lot.
Bonus points.
Yeah.
How, talk me through how Kane gets two bonus points in that game.
Actually, his underlying stats were quite good for that game when you have a look at the numbers.
Come off it, man.
No, they were quite good.
What is in the overall BPS? 33, fifth amongst forwards. I don't think.
But the thing is, if you watch the game today, I thought Hugo makes two appalling mistakes, and both of them.
Is the first one a mistake? That's a VAR right to give the goal.
I mean, at the time, I was raging. Yeah. But there's nothing really wrong with what Callum Wilson does, and therefore it's a goal.
I think it's a goal.
But, you know, Hugo, you've got to do better than that. You are a professional goalkeeper, and you have been for a number of years now. You're not a kid. You're an experienced goalkeeper. You've got to do better than that. And then to do it, not the same thing again, but to make another big mistake for the second goal, it's just a bit frustrating, I think, for me.
It goes under him. So not only does he make the mistake on Almiron's goal, to take nothing away from Almiron.
Because, again, another
worldie from him, and we've got to talk about him in a minute because he's unreal. But having made the mistake, Lloris then gets back into a position to be able to save the Almiron shot, and he goes underneath him, and you're like, oh, what are you doing?
Just you can't make those mistakes, right? If you make those mistakes against lower opposition in the League Cup, you'll be fine. If you make those mistakes against Newcastle,
they're a good side.
They're
on it, I tell you.
And they're in good form, and defensively they are solid.
He's done a good job, Eddie Howe, isn't he?
He's done a fantastic
job.
But he's bought the right players as well. Like, I know that people will sit here and go, well, they've spent a fortune. Yes, they've spent a reasonable amount of money. I wouldn't have said they've spent a fortune yet, but they've bought really well. The players they've bought in have strengththened the areas of their squad that they needed strengthening.
Getting Nick Pope, for example, that's a really unsexy but brilliant transfer.
Absolutely. I think Nick Pope, I think Eddie Howe deserves an awful lot of credit for what he's done at Newcastle United. They
totally
deserve
agree.
The win today. I won't say anything different other than that. I think from an FPL perspective, you've got lots of options at Newcastle. I still really hate the double up at the defence. I just don't get it.
It's doing my head in a little bit.
I don't understand it. It's
starting to become the thing that gives me a green or a red arrow, and I don't really like it.
I just don't get it, because I don't think that there's enough
upside.
They are
good defensively.
But so's Ward at Leicester. So this is my thing, you don't... I think, personally, that Pope's too expensive to have alongside Trippier. I think you save the money, you have Ward, and you use the money elsewhere to upgrade somewhere else. I like the potential options that you have in the Newcastle attack. Having said that, like, I wouldn't go for the defensive double up, but I would have Trippier and Almiron, and I would have Trippier, and I'd take a look at Callum Wilson up top as well, because I think the attack looks really nice for Newcastle, and they move the ball so nicely from the defence through to the attack up top. So I'm enjoying that. I think from a Spurs perspective...
Just before you move on from that, can I just comment on Almiron, because I agree with you. He was fourth overall for BPS amongst midfielders. So you've got Willian, Bailey, Iwobi, who by the way is also having a great season. Iwobi, he's doing absolute bits under Frank, under Everton. But Almiron fourth with 35 BPS. It was the confidence that I saw today, right? The confidence. So the couple of goals that he scored recently, the world is, that's given him the confidence to now show what sort of player he is.
Yeah, I agree.
He took his goal so well against Spurs today, but there was other opportunities where he was getting the ball and he was shooting, or he'd try a trick, or he'd do something a little bit high risk. And actually, as a Newcastle fan, and let us know what you think in the comments below, Newcastle fans, about Almiron. But I like to see players taking those risks. That, to me, suggests we've got a player here who's confident. he's happy with what he's doing. He's finally happy at the club. He's probably settled a little bit, right?
Yeah.
And I also noticed in a bit more of a sort of macro Newcastle bit here, there was a post-match interview where the Sky Sports interviewer interviewed Callum Wilson and Bruno Guimaraes, who was there supporting the team, right? Now, he's just had a baby this week, Bruno Guimaraes. And it was all like, oh, you know, honestly, it was like a really like wholesome interview. You know, it was like, you know, I've had my baby. I can't believe what's going on in my life right now. I'm so happy. I'm so blessed. And Callum Wilson was
travelled
just
down on his own as well, didn't he? I heard Eddie Howe say before the match, he travelled. He didn't want to miss out. So he travelled down on his own to be there.
I mean, that's great spot. That's great teamsmanship, if that's the right phrase. It's not, but you know what I mean. And then Callum Wilson's like, you know, we won that game for you and for Mateo, which is his new boy and stuff. I was like, I've rambled a lot there, but here is a team that are properly united. They are properly playing for each other. Eddie Howe has got them all working together. They've got some quality players. They've got very, very good. They're built on solid foundations at the back. They're going to challenge this top four, if not be in it.
I don't disagree with anything
you just
said.
They are miles better than us at the minute, I tell you. Miles.
I mean, half the league are better than you at the moment.
That is harsh but true.
From a Spurs perspective, I think... That's you're welcome. From a Spurs perspective, I expect you might go in on my line in a minute, so just get them in there first. From a Spurs perspective, I think... Right, okay, so let's start with Son, who I thought started the game brilliantly without Perisic. He was moving around nicely. There was good opportunities. He didn't take any of them.
He was a bit shoot on sight, wasn't he?
I don't mind that, though, because... I don't mind that with him at the moment because his confidence isn't great. And I think he was just reveling in the fact he was able to be where he wanted to be and take shots when he wanted to take them. So I quite like that. The problem I have is Royale's come off of his suspension and they've put him straight back in, and we were so much worse because he was playing on that side. It's the crosses, right? I don't mind the runs. Yeah. I actually don't mind him defensively most of the time. He has a bit of a... Sometimes... Well, every game I know he's going to do something awful, but 95% of the time I'm all right with him out there. My issue is that he doesn't work in the wing-back role because he's got no final product. He gets up there... He either has a nosebleed or he sends the ball flying out. One way goes out for a
goal. All right, well, we're not considering him in FPL. But what about FPL? Who are we considering?
Well, no, but this is the point, isn't it? So the issue is now, a lot of people went in with Matt Doherty because Royale was suspended and you got a couple of games out of him. But now I think we're going to see rotation around that position because you've got the pair of them now that are fit and available. The same happens on the other side with Sessegnon and Perisic. By the way, I think Sessegnon should play more than he does because I think he's way better for our team than Perisic is.
Is Perisic not really living up to... Well, let me ask it two ways. Is he not living up to the player that you thought you bought as a Spurs fan? And equally, is he not living up to the FPL asset that we all thought he was going to be at the beginning of the season?
No, I think he is the player that we thought he was going to be at Spurs. I just don't think he fits in the Spurs system very well. That's the problem. I don't think he fits in the Spurs team that we have with the other players that we have around him.
Okay.
My big issue right now, apart from the rotation there, is that with Romero injured, we've now got to play Sanchez. And Sanchez is not a good replacement for Romero.
Okay.
Romero and Dier together are a much more solid partnership. You don't get the mistakes. Today, Eric Dier made 3 mistakes. All of them because he was trying to cover for Sanchez. And that's a problem because he can't do his own job. When you've got Hugo then causing grief behind you, it's a problem. So,
but was Hugo, maybe that was in Hugo's mind as well then.
I'm
right?
Almost certainly.
Is Sanchez that bad that he has this sort of effect on the rest of the team?
He's got no confidence is the problem with Sanchez, and he doesn't have enough game time. When he comes in, he's asked to do a big job, but he never goes well. So defensively, while Ramiro's out, you don't think you can invest in the defence, particularly in the wing-backs because of the rotation. You can't... We didn't have Højbjerg today either, which was problematic.
He was
a
miss.
The only player that you can invest in from Spurs right now is Harry Kane. That's the end of it. And if you do, you... are going to likely tick over with the one goal, because that's how Spurs are at the moment.
Yeah.
So
it just shows you how important that midfield three is. In the same way that I saw the Liverpool midfield three and was just like, oh, we're going to struggle against Forest. I looked at your midfield three and I just thought, you're going to struggle against Newcastle. Because
well,
it was Bentancur, Skip and...
And Bissouma.
Bissouma, I mean,
I like Bentancur. I think he's really developing into a really nice player. Well, Skip's just not had enough game time because of his injury, right? But and Bissouma, similar, he's not had enough game time. So you're asking a lot of them in a partnership that's never existed before, okay, with a defence behind that was weakened by not having Romero. So if you're going to invest in FPL for Spurs, it has to be Kane. And you have to do it knowing that Spurs aren't scoring a hatful of goals at the moment, but he is going to tick over the points in a way that maybe Salah doesn't. So I think that's okay, the conversation. If you've got KDB and Haaland, I wouldn't go for Kane.
All right.
But if you aren't already invested or you've got Salah, I'd look at the move.
All right, let's just have a look at the fixtures going forward. The Newcastle fixtures, I didn't think last I looked at them looked too bad. So it's Villa at home, Southampton away, Chelsea at home. So, yeah, listen, there is a case for a Newcastle treble up, I think, before the World Cup. And then the Spurs fixtures, where are Spurs? They are here. Bournemouth next. So you're definitely not saying anybody ahead of Bournemouth. Although, actually, Bournemouth at the Vitality, this is not as easy a game as perhaps it suggests here on the ticker.
Not as easy as 5 weeks ago.
Yeah, and then it's the FPL Family Derby in 15, which I am so not looking forward to.
Can you imagine how boring that game's going to be?
What, Liverpool-Spurs? Oh, I honestly couldn't tell you what the outcome of that game is going to be at the minute.
It's at us as well, isn't it?
It's at Spurs. So at the minute, it's an away game for Liverpool. Therefore, I don't fancy us. But I don't know. And then Leeds at home. Mm. So, you know, your Spurs assets, it's difficult to say sell them because the fixtures look
good. No, I don't think you sell. If you're invested in Spurs, you have to stick.
What, even like a Perisic or like a... Because you're not getting rid of Kane, I understand that, but your fullbacks.
If you've got Dyer, you've got to keep him. If you've got a fullback, you're either getting them. If they don't start, they're going to come on for a one pointer. That's the problem. That's why I've always said don't invest in the wingbacks at Spurs.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people today that have Matt Doherty come off their bench and it blocked Pereira.
Yeah.
That would annoy the hell out of me.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. All right, so Spurs. Maybe they're a hold just about, but Newcastle, I think, are a buy, including Almiron. If any of you want to buy Almiron ahead of these next three fixtures, there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. Let's just pick up on a couple of other games, Sam. Zaha blank, Everton beating Palace 3-0, which...
I didn't see that one coming.
Well, Palace are not good away from home, are they?
No,
I mean, at home they're all right, and that's the trouble with Wilf now. He's got Southampton at home up next, so how do you sell him? But then after that, two away games. So I don't know what it is with Palace. They travel just as badly as we do.
Anderson. Like, Anderson's one-pointer is so frustrating because, the reality is I was never going to play Dalot at Chelsea or Nico Williams against Liverpool. So I was always playing Anderson. But it is annoying. It's another annoying result because Everton haven't exactly been scoring a lot of goals lately.
There's a couple of them that are just starting to, like Iwobi. What do you make of Iwobi? He's just starting to, like... He's doing having a really good season, isn't he?
He is, but there's something about Everton I just don't quite trust. I do like the Calvert-Lewin being back thing. I think that's massively helpful for Everton because now they've actually got a proper target person and he scored this week, didn't he, Calvert-Lewin? Yeah, yeah. They've got a proper forward now that's not, and I'm going to say something that I should, you know, punish myself for later, but Rondon, as much as we love him on FPL Family...
Oh, listen, Everton haven't had a target man.
You know, they've really missed Calvert-Lewin and the fact that they've now got him back... And of course, they lost Richarlison to us in the summer. But I just don't get very excited about investing in Everton, if you know what I mean.
No. All right. Well, that's them. Another team that won big at home, Aston Villa. So Stevie, out the door. And the likes of Ings and Bailey in particular with a goal and assist. And the much maligned under Stephen Gerrard, Tyrone Mings, picks up a clean sheet and an assist. And probably got some bonus points as well. Let's have a look. Yes, I think picked up one bonus point as well. So... Is this the start of something good for Villa, or are they still a bit of an avoid until the World Cup?
Well, when you look at the team, it's the team that was sort of decent last season that he started, and Bailey was back doing the things that we saw him doing last time around. Ings and Watkins were up top together, which worked in this one. I mean, we haven't seen the highlights. And we do get new manager bounce out of teams, don't we? And I said to you, right back in the summer, when he gave the captain's armband to John McGinn.
Yeah.
That's weird. Not the giving it to John McGinn thing, but the fact you've taken it off Tyrone Mings, who is a big personality and a big leader in that club.
Yeah.
And an experienced older statesman, been there a long time, to take it off of him and give it to somebody else, regardless of what he publicly says, that's problematic because that's in the back of his head. And Mings has had a terrible season. Not today.
That's more than a new manager bounce. That is a Stevie was a real problem. And we're almost like we want to demonstrate that it was him that was the problem, not us. I mean, let's see.
That was a real team spirit that today.
They worked together today. I need to watch the highlights of match. I need to read more and look at some more interviews on the back of that, because that's just not possible that they go and just smash Brentford, a decent Brentford side, 4-0 like that. It's got to be more to it. Villa coming up have got, let's have a look, Newcastle up next. It's difficult to invest in them when they're going to St James's Park.
Well, that'll be interesting to watch, though. Man United and Brighton. It'll be interesting to watch, though, won't it? Because, you know, I don't think you need to invest in them in the next two. But if you want to punt on one of them, if they do well against Newcastle and United, you could punt on one of them against Brighton that final week before the World Cup, couldn't you?
Okay, all right, very good. So Aston Villa performing
well.
What are
you going to do about Tony, by the way, on that? Because that's another blank for him now.
Oh, he's playing Wolves next. I'm just keeping him, aren't I? Oh, you're not selling him ahead of Wolves. Wolves are all over the shop.
You're doing a lot of holding, you are.
Yeah, but as we'll see with
my
bus...
a lot of loyalty.
You'll see in my bus team. And that's the art of FPL, Sam. You can't just go knee-jerking out Ivan Toney, who's having a great season just because he's blanked against this weird Steven Gerrard-less Aston Villa. We're gonna play out of our skin Villa.
Two blanks in a row.
He didn't blank last week, did he?
Didn't he blank him midweek, Tony?
I don't know. I can't remember. but no, he's fine. That's it. There's not much else to talk about. I mean, we could talk about City if you want, but the Foden benching, listen, everyone's got him, so I don't think it's a major problem, per se.
A benching was coming.
Yeah.
It's City. Yeah. You will get one. I just wish he'd stayed there, because then Pereira would have come off my bench.
Same. Yeah, exactly exactly the same. And listen, if there was anybody that was going to take the Man City clean sheet, it was going to be Trossard, wasn't it? So,
well, we said that on Sky, didn't I?
Yeah, I mean, I go back to my comment earlier about, you know, is the captaincy getting a bit boring in the game? It is for me. Who else
would you have given it to, though, genuinely?
Well, that's the point. I wouldn't. I'm just going to captain Haaland every week. I'm looking at my bus team now. They're away at Leicester. I'm captaining Haaland.
Yeah, I'm not playing Ward next week.
Yeah, maybe not. Yeah, Timothy can stay on your owners. Use your bench.
But a lot of them had him there this week.
But I've got, you know, Right, let's do this now. Let's have a look at bus teams, because I've got so many, and many of you will, guys. Let's look at bus teams. We'll talk about our teams in a minute, but let's talk about bus teams for next week. Here's my bus team for next week. And look, I've got my three City. They've got Zaha home to Southampton. I've got my Arsenal boys at home to Forest. Mitrovic at Everton. Tony's got Wolves at home. You've got the Newcastle boys, you know, hosting Villa. These are all really nice fixtures, but you've got Salah at home to Leeds. I am not captaining anybody other than Haaland. It's just boring, but that is the way it is, I'm afraid.
See, I mean, I do agree with you, it is a bit boring, but I also don't object to it in the same way that you do. I think for me, it just means I have to make better decisions across the rest of my team, which I'm not very good at the moment. But, you know, that's what I've got. That's where we are, aren't we? The captaincy is basically a non-thing at the moment. You just captain Haaland.
You're taking a massive bit of FPL out of FPL. Yeah, but captaincy is a huge thing.
But there's not a lot that can be done about that. Haaland is literally just...
I know there's not a lot I can do about it. I'm just saying it's affecting my enjoyment of the game, because it's a big thing. You choose your captaincy. You might go against it some weeks. You think, oh, I'll just go against it. You go against it right now, and Haaland's on 180, 190 EO every week, you're screwed. See, like, season over if he bangs, and he is every week.
Yeah.
So you just can't go against it. It's crazy. But anyway, let's talk about our teams, though. Let's go and talk about our teams and our scores for this week. So your wildcard team picks up 54.
Look at that midfield. Look at the state of them. And then look at Pereira.
If you'd have said that midfield at the beginning of this game week would get 1-1, 1-2, you'd be like, no. Saka, Martinelli, Foden and Zaha.
The thing is...
That's incredible. That's got five.
But that team, given that, you know, obviously it wasn't just picked for game week 13. It was picked for game week 13 through 16.
Yeah.
However, that team on paper looked like it should top 100 this week.
Yeah.
It had all of them... It had all of the right... Like, I was really struggling with benching Pereira, but I couldn't bench any of those other seven. Like, you can't... I just couldn't bench any of them.
Yeah.
And they've all... with it. So, I've got obviously got Haaland. Forget him. The only two that have therefore returned for me are Kane and Ward. So, it's a difficult one to swallow, that. But, having said that, it's not the end of the world. My team looks nice for next week. I just... You know, I bought these players in for a reason. Some of them I think were a bit unlucky. Jesus, I think, could have got something out of that game. Foden just got benched, so that is what it is. Trossard,
at least he's had his rest now.
Yeah,
Foden, right?
Exactly. Trossard taking the clean sheets, annoying, but is what it is. You know, everybody's got these City
at least
assets.
At least you hadn't doubled up on City, although Edison did get an assist, didn't he? No, I know.
I mean, that's just typical, isn't it? Like, I took Edison out, he got an assist. But then Danny Ward was a legend anyway, so it didn't matter.
Yeah.
Next week, I'll bench Ward, obviously, against City, and I'll play Kepa instead. But the sad thing is, I'll look at Pereira there again and think, well, how am I going to play you?
Yeah, I mean, look at you. Look
what
at
am
your,
I supposed to do with
front,
Pereira?
Your front eight there, your front seven.
You're gonna bench Pereira.
I mean, that is what it is. So yeah, 54 on the wild card. Your overall rank 981k down a little bit. Probably gonna take another little hit because you've got Bowen and Solanke and a few others that are gonna play tomorrow, right? Because West Ham have got Bournemouth. We shouldn't forget that there is a game still
to
go.
There is still a game tomorrow. Yeah.
On Monday night, my team pretty much same as you, right? 53. Again, that midfield, you know, Salah against Forest, Foden. At home to Brighton, Zaha, Martinelli. These, how have they got what they've got? How is that 6 points? Unbelievable. So Ben White, yes, happy with that. That was a good transfer in. I was always going to do Foden, but, you know, on a week where he gets rested and the guy that I took out for him, Madison, scores.
Ow.
It's a bit hard to take, to be honest with you. But never mind, these things happen. Obviously, Haaland, Mitrovic ticking over as he was. Another... From what I understand, got to watch the highlights, but another fairly average performance from Mitrovic. But average performances in getting the goals, so whatever, right? Whatever. Imagine when he plays well. He's now the second highest scorer in the league, I think, after Haaland, right? But again, same as you, benching, right? So Andreas with the 8, Nico with the 6. Cucurella gets hauled off because, you know, apparently he doesn't fit into the tactic. Yeah, well, at least I benched him, right? But I was never going to do anything other than Cancelo, Trippier and White. So, yeah, those were my two free transfers. I bought in White and Foden for Kyle Walker-Peters and Madison. And you've got to say that that's not looking great, right? Particularly the Madison to Foden one. But still, 103k. It'll go down a bit tomorrow because of Solanke and Bowen and a few others. So I'm probably going to end up about 110, 115k. It's still fine. I'd like to be in the top 100k going into the World Cup. That would be a good foundation on which to start the second half of the season. I'd be pretty pleased with that. But as it is, yeah, a pretty stinky week. A pretty stinky week. Not great. Mm. 40% down. 40% down. Just a quick talk about busting. Let's just go back on this again. In terms of your transfers for next week, so you
not
played your
any.
Wild card, so you've only got one to make.
Not making any. Like, what would I do with that? I mean, I looked at it for this week when I was doing it for last week.
Yeah, and, that's pretty good, right?
And I picked a team that I thought worked really well for 13 and 14. The only thing that I was kind of watching was my yellow card guys, because obviously I had Jesus that could potentially get banned. But then I always had a movement from him. You know, there was always a move to Darwin, to Mitrovic, if that happened. But, you know, I look at the fixtures going into this week and, I'm not going to take out any of my Arsenal boys ahead of Nottingham Forest. So that's not happening. I'm not taking out Kane ahead of Bournemouth. I'm not touching my Man City boys. The bench guys I picked there for a reason. Nico Williams will get benched again. Pereira's there because he has no choice.
Don't mind him.
It's either him or Anderson, but at home against Southampton, Palace are quite good at home. So it's really difficult.
That's a tough one, actually.
It's difficult because Dallow's got more attacking threat than Anderson. But I think Anderson's more likely to get the clean sheet than Dallow.
Difficult. I have to say, I don't envy you there, Dallow or Anderson. Let us know in the comments, guys. What should Sam do? Play Anderson or play Dallow? I think I would just go for Dallow because you've got a little bit more assist threat about him, maybe. But that is a difficult one.
I think I'll be interested to see how West Ham play tomorrow. If West Ham are terrible on Monday night, then maybe that'll make me think, okay, I'll play Dallow instead then.
But here we are, Sam, having just lamented the 11-pointer on the bench for Andreas this week.
Yeah, we're doing it again.
Can you bench him again?
Well, what are we going to do? Who else are you going to bench?
I can't take anybody out of my team. I'm in exactly the same position as you. Salah and Foden and Haaland, I mean, Tony against an out of sorts Wolves. Got to play Mitrovic, haven't you? And then Martinelli, you've got to play. Zaha, you've got to play as well. The transfer that I am considering is the one that I was going to do this week, but because of the slight uncertainty about whether he was going to play or not, I didn't bring Saka in. But I still have the right money in the bank, or a little bit more than the right money, to do Zaha to Saka. That can still happen for a free transfer this week. But elsewhere, it looks fine, right? Even that feels a bit of a luxury transfer, because Zaha at home to Southampton could actually do all right. I feel a bit reluctant to do that. So, yeah, like you, I might roll it. Let's see. We've got European games and stuff, haven't we, this week? So I'm not busting to knee-jerk anybody in over the next couple of days or so. I want to see how the European games roll out.
Yeah. It could all change, couldn't it? And it takes one injury.
It could all change. But I'm pretty happy with it, I have to say. I don't think... Yes, I know Tony got the blank today, but, you know, Wolves at home, that's too good a fixture, isn't it? And Salah, yes, Liverpool massively out of sorts against Forest, but...
I'd sell Salah.
You can't. You just can't. Ahead of Leeds at home. Oh, it's mental. It's mental. You can't do it. I just can't do it. Obviously, I'd be really happy if he scores a hat-trick or whatever, right? And he wasn't in my team. But still, I don't think you can. I can't. If you've let us know, guys, that is a real key question, I think, for FPL managers all this week. If you've got Mo Salah, that's why I put it on the thumbnail. What are you doing? Buy, sell, or hold? Let us know in the comments, because you'd sell. I would hold. I don't know whether I'd buy. Would you be buying him? Well, obviously, you wouldn't be buying him right now.
What have you seen from him?
I know, but it's Leeds at home.
He barely was in the game against Forest.
It's Leeds at home. He also, did you notice in the Forest game, although he did get up and carry on playing, he did sort of seem to hurt his hip, or there was some sort of injury there for a little while. He seemed to be in quite a bit of pain until he had a bit of magic spray and sort of carried on. But it's unlike Salah to be down injured for that amount of time.
Honestly,
so,
I think, for me, it would be a very easy sell. It was hard.
It's not an easy sell.
Last week on Wildcard, it was hard for me to sell Salah because it was Nottingham Forest.
Oh, you guys in the chat, Torben Nielsen, sell Salah. Dominic Sinclair, sell. Matthew Wilkinson, keep Salah Lee. I'm holding. Gavin Doyle, sell Salah Lee. Oh, Martin Tricky, Swatch, Liverpool midfield so bad. Martin, that may be the case, mate, but Leeds are just as bad as us at the minute. They really are. And you have to remember, we are all right at home. And that is an evening kickoff, as far as I'm aware.
7:45.
Under the lights, at Anfield.
What time is it going to be for us?
It's going to be late. We're not going to be in the country, are we? 10:45. It's going to be a late, late one for us. But I'm
going
to try and find somewhere to watch that.
I'm not dealing. I'm not going to deal with you. I'm
going to try and find somewhere to watch that. People are saying, sell. Yeah, Lee, blind loyalty to Salah. Well, listen, he's been all right for us, isn't he, in the last few years. Liverpool are out of sorts, there's no doubt. But at home to Leeds, I think you've got to keep him. If he blanks home to Leeds, he's gone.
Who you got next? It's us.
Yeah, well, I'm not having him for you, am I? I mean, that is going to be a difficult game. So,
I can't wait for us to
Leeds
play each other.
Leeds at home.
It might be
his last game anyway. It might be his last game anyway, because I wouldn't fancy him against.
Why is Klopp selling him in January?
I don't think that's going to happen. He's just giving him a new bloody contract. Sam, talk us through what's coming up this week, because we have got an interesting week, haven't we? We are going to be away. We're going to be not in the UK. We're going to be overseas, but we're still going to keep the content coming. There's still a few podcasts and stuff that you are planning to record.
Yes, so the official pod will still go out on Thursday as normal. With I'll still be there. You'll get a little view of my hotel room while we're abroad. So that will still go out as normal. We will still be socialing as normal in terms of our...
So you'll be TikToking?
Well, there'll still be some TikToks, apparently. Yeah. I'll still do Insta reactions for all the games that we watch. And of course, because we'll be overseas, we'll be able to watch the 3 o'clocks next weekend, which will be nice. So yeah, that will still happen as normal. Podcast still as normal. Next Sunday night, we'll put out a podcast probably rather than a live stream.
I would say that sounds about right, doesn't it? Yeah, rather than live streaming then next week, folks, because we won't have our cameras and our mics and everything else, but we will have the capacity to record a podcast. So if you haven't yet subscribed or follow to our podcast, wherever you get your audio or your podcast, if you use a Spotify or Acast or Audio Boom, whatever it is, search for FPL Family in that sound app. And this time next week, we won't do a live stream, but we will have a podcast, an hour-long podcast or so, and that will come to you just on the podcast platform. So get over and follow us on wherever you get your podcast. That is it, folks. That is it. Well done to anybody that got in the, if you got in the 50s, in the 60s, there was a couple of you in the live chat got in the 70s, which is pretty incredible. Well done and good luck to anybody that's got a Jared Bowen or a Dominic Solanke in tomorrow night's game. Don't forget there is still West Ham versus Bournemouth to come in this game week. That's it, guys. Subscribe if you're new around here. Leave us a like before you go, and we'll see you this time next week on the podcast for FPL Family. Cheers, guys. See you soon.
Bye, guys.